Good evening and welcome. This is Strong and Sassy here on your Superstation Joy 99.7 FM. A very big thank you to Aram for sitting in for us last week. And it's good to be back. So tonight we're talking about who a good woman is. And in conversations over the last few days, I realized that when you ask anyone really who a good woman is, the definition sometimes differs from who a good single woman is to who a good married woman is. So somehow it would seem as though women are supposed to transform, maybe lose parts of themselves, maybe gain a little bit more to be good wives, as opposed to just, you know, a one-size-fits-all, I guess you could say. Anyway, so tonight we're asking that question. Who is a good woman? Evans started us off by telling us that a good woman to him is somebody who can give him good food. I'd love to hear what you think a good woman is. Our phone lines are open. We're just going to keep them open the whole of today's show. 0302-216-541. Our text lines are open as well. 055-11-11997. 0302-216-541 and 055-11-11997. So text or call and let us know what you think a good woman is and how different that is from who a good wife is. So joining me in the studio this evening is Sinam Batali, General Manager for Serval Marketing Solutions. Every time she comes on the show, the job description changes. So this one has been on for a while, yeah. But knowing you,
we grow.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't mean that in a bad way. I just meant, you know, in terms of taking on new things. Hi, Sinam. How are you?
Hi. I'm good.
It's good to have you.
Good to see you.
All right. Let's leave it there.
Yeah. But you see that the eyes that I'm giving you.
You go on Facebook. We're live and interactive. And if you'd prefer to see us and be a part of the conversation, we're there as well. So, Esinam, who is a good woman to you?
What do you define as good? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, by whose standards are we qualifying good? By religious standards? By cultural standards? By personal standards that people have, and you know that culture also changes from place to place. What we would define as a good person here, a good person in the UK may probably differ based on the culture that they're in. So I think that first of all, we first have to define what the good there means, and then we can use it to qualify the person, woman. The woman we're talking about. So what is the good in there?
So here in Ghana, which is where we are,
mm-hmm.
That's the qualification.
Here in Ghana, I think it also differs. But let's take it, or let's look at the modern Ghanaian man and woman. Let's look at this from
that. That's interesting, because even the definition of good, old, and then good new
is different.
Are very, very different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay, yeah. Let's do the modern thing.
Right. So the modern Ghanaian.
Yeah. The modern
Ghanaian woman.
Yeah.
Right. Good would be someone who's ultimately looking out for the best interest of herself and those around her. Right. Somebody who is devoted, committed to a certain thing and follows through, who we can see they're assertive, they're hardworking, they're strong, they're dedicated, and when they say they'll do something, they go ahead and do it. You know, that kind of a woman I will call good, right? Somebody who respects themselves, respects others, is not out to, like, doesn't have any sort of ill intentions towards anybody, you know, and focuses on themselves, their immediate surrounding, people around them, how to develop themselves and the people around them. So that's how I would describe a good woman from my perspective. Okay. What do you think?
But the thing is, it's so, like, multidimensional, though, because...
How?
Because, again, good is relative. So,
very relative.
For example, you know, if you're a good woman, are you, does it mean that you put yourself first, or does it mean that you put others first? Because you may be known as somebody who puts others first, so people say you're a good woman. You may be known as somebody who puts their selves first, and their self-aware academy would say you're a good woman, but yes, everybody else will say that you're selfish.
Yeah, I think it's the balance. It's the person who knows when to choose themselves, when to be there for others. Because self-care, or not choosing yourself, not prioritizing yourself, is self-abandonment, right? Focusing on others more than you is abandoning yourself. And focusing on yourself more than anybody else, right? Some may say it's self-love, but striking the right balance and finding the right spot, the sweet spot where you are, you know when to take care of yourself and you know when to take care of others. You know when to be there for yourself and choose yourself above everything. It's also possible. And there could be times where you could be selfish too. You know, sometimes a little bit of selfishness is necessary in loving yourself more, but it could also go overboard.
Yeah.
Then you're not being good.
When I was younger, I used to think being good was something that was defined by other people. So I was maybe much more focused on being a good daughter.
Yeah.
You know, being a good wife, because I got married quite young. You know, being a good mother, being good to other people was what defined good for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's funny, because as the years have gone by, I define good relative to myself. So there are times when I will be a bad daughter to be good to myself.
Right.
Do you get what I mean? Now, there are times when I won't be a great wife, and maybe I may need, you know, a couple of weeks off.
Yeah.
Being married.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but like I just need a break, you know, to be good.
Yeah.
So it's kind of changed over the years. And I think with the whole self-love revolution and stuff, you know, we're finding the balance.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, because when we asked Evans who a good woman is, and I think most majority of men would automatically answer that question in relation to how a woman
treats them.
You know, his first thing was, oh, you know, as long as
she gives me food.
Good food. And obviously, I mean, sex would be up there
on
the list as well. So it's interesting that maybe men, and I wish the men would call in, because I'd love to hear who you think a good woman is, and whether food and sex are like top of the list, or whether, you know, there's things like,
I think they grouped under maybe the care for your partner's needs. Okay, so let's say you're with a man or whoever you choose to be with, and then you pay attention to their needs, you are there for them, you offer the support and whatnot. That is when you're being a good person. I think essentially it's about being a good person. But then for being a woman, it is doing what you said you would do and doing it well. You know, you've made a commitment to take care of someone. Being a good mother, you've made a commitment to take care of a child that you brought into the world. So being there for their needs, taking care of them, being the support system, whatever it is that the person needs to develop or be the best version of them, you are there to provide that. I think food and sex and whatever it is falls under that category.
Yeah.
Right? So taking care of your partner's needs, whatever they need at that moment, I think that's what makes you a good person in a relationship setting.
So Papanza texts, and he says, a good woman is someone who has good character, respectful, stays with you in times of hardship.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take those three things, right? Mm-hmm. So good character.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
should have good character, though.
But you see, the thing is, isn't good character relative?
It's subjective.
Subjective, that's the word, yeah.
It's subjective based on the person who is perceiving, or like who is at the receiving end of the character. Your good character may not be good for somebody else, right? What you consider good may not, like you think.
I mean, there's some universal goods.
Of course, so general standards. Yes, Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Right? And of course, the fidelity contract you've signed with somebody, if you are in a monogamous relationship, the kind of social contracts you have with yourself, with your partner, and the people around you, right? That's hidden to that, doing your part of the bargain is being good.
Do you think, I mean, you brought up fidelity, so just, I mean, maybe we can talk about that a little bit, because I think that there's obviously the perception that a good woman obviously is a woman who is faithful. Do you think that over the years it's become more difficult to be faithful as a woman?
Yeah.
Because when we talk about fidelity, most of the time we talk about the men.
We are increasingly seeing women who are saying no grief for anybody. Like, if you can do it, I can do it too. And in most instances, because the general programming as we're growing up is to be faithful and be the one who keeps the home and be the one who keeps the peace, whatever it is, when the man steps out or something happens and he cheats on you, whatever it is, you don't feel the need to do it back. But then the current modern woman is also seeing through that as well. It's like, okay, I will leave if you want me to, but if you want me to stay, then consider the possibility I could also do this to you.
Mm.
You know, people are becoming increasingly vengeful. Like, you won't show me shege and pass.
Yeah.
They will show you, you will be shege'd.
You will see the same
shege. You understand? Yeah. Right. And it may not be a great thing, but it is coming from mostly a place of pain, mostly a need for revenge and whatever. It's not advisable, but you find people doing it too. So, like, being faithful too has become a very hard thing. Because, again, the standards that women are expected to live to, wicked and wild, you know, to be... I know people disagree with my... People probably disagree with my definition of good and all that, and they would want to hear the woman who does this, a woman who cleans up the house and does whatever it is. But if you are doing that, then you're limiting the person to what you can get from them.
Yeah.
A good person is good within. It's good within who they are. They have the general sense of awareness to know when they are wrong and apologize. A good woman is a good person. Same traits I would expect in a
you
good
would
man.
Expect so good. They should just kind of cut across.
Yeah.
Good woman, good person, good wife.
Yes. Good mother.
Good mother.
Yes.
Oh. Then obviously in that case there will be some things that are like a common thread to somebody who is respectful.
Yes. Kind.
Kind.
Yes.
Compassionate.
Yes.
Strong. Sensible.
Yes. And
common
has,
sense and is has so sense, underrated.
And has awareness, you know, yeah. Like self-awareness,
spatial
empathy, emotional intelligence, being able to manage situations, knowing when to say what,
yeah,
like being emotionally present, being physically present.
I think you brought up emotions, so let's talk about that for a minute. I feel like emotions is one space that where women, like, we kind of really let ourselves down.
Yes.
Because we have this tendency, and I think it's because we are not taught to control and be in control of our emotions.
Yeah.
So a lot of us kind of grew up being ruled by our emotions.
Yeah.
So you may be a really good woman, but you can't control your anger, you can't control jealousy, you can't control your insecurity or your anxiety, and so it turns you into something else. But
or
it doesn't
you could
mean
even
that you
be over control. Like, you want
let's
to also
you,
over control that
before we do the other side.
Right.
Otherwise, no. Do you know what I'm saying? So you could be good, but not be able to control your emotions.
Yeah.
How did you learn to control your emotions?
I will not even sit here and say I figured it out or that I know how to perfectly control my emotions. But I know that being present helps. Acceptance is one of the things I've had to learn quite recently, that accepting whatever comes is supposed to be for you, and it's supposed for you to live through it. You're supposed to live through it to learn or to figure more things out. I'm not hard on myself. I'm self-compassionate. I think that's one of the ways I'm managing my emotions, that even when I get angry, I understand that I am human and I can get angry. It's what I choose to do with the anger that matters. It's how I choose to respond to it. So I'm starting to, like, give myself a break. Like, or like, catch a beat when I feel like my emotions are getting all over the place. Like, I can catch a beat and look at it and say, okay, this is why I'm doing this, or this is how I'm feeling this way. And sometimes, like, being able to become meditating helps me to check myself better in terms of how I even react to things. it got a time I was very anxious. I was socially anxious at some point. It's dying off slowly with more awareness and taking care of myself. I'm being able to realize when I'm going overboard and be able to check myself. I think that being present, being physically present in your body, mentally present in your body, and grounding yourself so that when something changes, you're aware. Practicing gratitude, like being able to name the things that I'm grateful for, also helps with my emotions. When I go all over the place, I catch myself and like I'm grateful for my ability to breathe, my body, that my body is functioning well, that my mind is functioning well, and this thing that I'm feeling will pass.
Yeah.
And all these things I had to learn on myself through YouTube, self-help books, and all that.
I think one of my favorite things now in the past few years is self-regulation. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not something that we're taught.
Yeah.
Self-regulation, self-soothing.
Yep.
And one of my most popular phrases or my most used phrases in my life right now is give me a second.
Right.
So I say that a lot to regulate my emotions because I'm very sensitive. So
same.
I pick up a lot of energy.
Same.
So first of all, I limit my interactions.
Yeah.
Because if you're sensitive, then you're going to be picking up a lot of
energy. A lot. And yeah.
So, I mean, the Bible says you should mind your own business. So basically, you know. But self-regulation taught me to be able to not be so at the mercy of other people in terms of my emotions.
Right.
So I picture myself in a bubble and I am in this bubble. So when there's a situation or something comes up and I start feeling emotional, whether it's anxiety or whether it's anger, whether it's fear, whether it's pain or anything, I picture myself in my bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in my safe space. So then I've learned how to detach from what is going on around me that's causing the emotion. And then I ask myself, okay, why are you feeling this way? Is this yours or is it that person's?
Mm-hmm.
If it's that person's, then let's leave it for them to feel that way. If it's mine, okay, why do I feel this way? Talk myself through it, you know, self-soothe, okay, this. And then try and go out of my emotions into my head.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, taken me like 20 years to learn how to do this.
It's not easy.
Because I'm telling you, I was one of the most emotional people you'd meet. I was crying every day. I couldn't deal with my relationships because I feel everything. I feel every mood, every word that you say, whatever you didn't say and what you say, you know, I felt all of that. So there's always so many emotions. So then you're tense, you're anxious, you're crying, you're insecure. So just being able to detach from all of that, you know, get into a place where, and I wish that it was something that maybe we talk about more, that we teach people more, that you do not have to be ruled by your emotions.
Just take a moment to breathe. You don't know how soothing breathing is till you try it. Whatever the state of emotion, just breathe. Just sit for a moment, close your eyes and breathe and pay attention to your breath. Like, follow your breath, the air as it goes into your nose, how
air
to
as it comes out.
And as it comes out, and breathe.
Yeah.
You'd realize that it will calm everything down. If you breathe 60 times, if you breathe 50 times,
it will calm.
You end up being calm. At some point, you stop counting and you just start breathing.
And the reason why we're talking about emotions is because as women, a very large part of who we are is in our emotions. So if you...
And hormones.
And hormones. I remember there was one time, right? I kid you not. I was feeling emotional about something. I was praying. I was like, God, Jesus, I talked for like 15 minutes. So I was really mad at God. And then I finished this it was a very heartfelt, fervent prayer. And then I finished it and I had this very still reminder, like in my spirit, Charlie, your period, they come. Like
it's
like,
wicked, eh?
And take it easy, you know, like just take it easy, like just and it was funny because as soon as it hit me like that, I was like, oh, so I've learned in the week of my period,
yep.
Like 3 days leading up to,
Lord,
and maybe 2 days after, I do not take myself seriously. I do not take my emotions seriously. I warn everybody involved that, hey, hurricane is around. Please, as much as you can, leave me alone. And it just, there's a certain freedom in the acceptance of the fact that,
right,
I am about to go.
I am such a horrible person,
so please,
during this moment. So please hold me down and be there for me. Like, gentle reminder.
And you know that the flip
I am such a horrible
that,
human.
The flip side of that is that I realized what I used to do now. During my period, I would say the most horrible things that are true, that on a good day, I would have so much compassion and empathy that I can't say.
Mm-hmm.
And when the person is hurt, then I would say, but I was in my period, you know?
No, I think that...
Even though I actually meant it.
The rationalization I've given it is that when you're about to get your period, or when I'm about to get my period, there's a different person that takes over. The pain body takes over,
yeah,
right? Like, physically, you are in survival. It is about fight or flight.
Yeah.
My body needs to make way for something to come out. And it has to be a force. It is forced. The contractions and relaxants, whatever, people have even compared the pain of menstrual cramps to heart attacks.
Yeah.
Imagine how you will fight.
If you have endometriosis and other,
you know, PCOS other, and everything.
Other conditions. Other,
yeah. It's very painful. So your body has to build itself to tolerate that pain. So I think all compassion goes out the window. All kindness goes out the window. So
everything
if,
is times 100.
Yes. And your emotions are heightened. Estrogen level very high. So you are a woman's woman during that week. And having the people around you recognize that, hey, Charlie, she's in this particular yeah. mood, and let's take care of her. And you yourself recognizing that, because I feel like a lot of women too don't know.
Then, yeah.
A lot of women don't pay attention to it. So you end up realizing that you've hurt somebody. You've been a bad woman. You've been a bad person temporarily.
Yeah.
And then after your period, you come to your senses and you're like...
So the other thing is, you know, that I do is during my period, like I said, I don't take myself too seriously. So I avoid serious conversations. I avoid emotional conversations. I avoid making decisions that involve any form of emotion or anything, because then everything is just 100 times more overwhelming. So if it can wait for 4 days or 5 days, let me just get through this when I'm feeling more myself. And I think that if women are able to communicate that, especially in relationships or in marriage, but it would really make...
It would take awareness to even notice it.
It would, and it will also just make life, you know, more make life easier, because then your partner knows, okay, she's not herself for these few days, so let me not be, you know, let me just...
Mind you, there's very little research out there on women and women's health and the menstrual cycle in itself, mm-hmm. and how it relates to the person's emotions and how it relates to how they think and everything. So you have to notice yourself as a woman.
Yeah.
Like, you have to take care of yourself. Write everything down if possible. What you ate, how it made you feel. Did you run? Did you have racing thoughts in your head? Did you feel some type of way? Did you get angry at somebody? Why did you get angry at them? Like, journaling, especially during those times, and
it's
you can
really
go
good.
Back to read those journaling, those journals that you've put together. It will really, really help you to understand yourself better.
Yeah. And a quick note to men, don't be dismissive. I mean, it can be easy to be dismissive about some of these things and say, oh, you
it's
know,
just
you're
your
blaming
hormones.
Period, it's just your hormones. But it's a reality.
Yeah.
I mean, it may be a temporary reality, but it is a reality.
Yeah, it is her reality at that point.
Yeah.
And
it's her reality that you came out from.
Yeah.
If she didn't have that reality, you wouldn't exist.
And at that point, she's even though estrogen is very high, she's more masculine at that point, because it's fight or flight. It's like, the hormones, that cortisol levels are high, everything is high, it's just let's fight right now.
Yeah.
You know, like,
so everything, the slightest threat is completely escalated.
Yeah, everything, like, then at that moment, if she sees you chatting with another girl with your on the phone with the girl sending you something, then it becomes wow, so you really hate me that much.
Yeah,
like you are such a horrible person. Maybe it could even be harmless, but then the person is feeling threatened because of the mood they are in. So yeah.
All right. So, I mean, like I said at the beginning of the show, the phone lines are open. For those of you asking, 0302-216-541. We want to hear what you think a good woman is. And we were just trying to bring some light to some of the challenges that women have in being good the whole month. We can promise maybe 3 weeks out of the month, but maybe we can't promise the whole 4 weeks. Okay, this one says, I think every woman is a good woman until something or someone gives her a reason to behave otherwise. But generally, a good woman is one who has empathy, is tolerant, respects herself and anyone she meets, not quick to judge and draw conclusions. As for drawing conclusions, yes, it's a talent. Slow to anger, but is also able to determine where to draw the line so that she's not taken advantage of. That's Igbeni.beta. Okay, Nick says, good is very relative. You can't be good for everyone. For me, a good woman is therefore measured in a certain unit or under a certain lens. If you're a Christian, that lens is Jesus Christ. If you aren't, the lens is whatever religious morals you're bound by. Thank you. Well, thank you, Nick. I like that. One of my favorite scriptures was, I think it's Peter, where he talks about women having a quiet and gentle spirit. And I struggled with that for so many years because, like, I am not quiet and I am not gentle. You know, it doesn't mean that.
Is that awareness for me?
You know, I'm never going to be, you know, the biblical, you know, definition of a quiet and gentle spirit. And it's interesting because when I did, I really went into the real Bible study of women who had done amazing things in the Bible. I mean, there was people like Jael who stuck like a knife into somebody's head, you know, to save her nation. And you know, so it's does she have a gentle and quiet spirit? Yeah, I think so. I mean,
Delilah is good to her people.
Delilah is not.
She's a hero to her people.
Wow.
For her people, she saved them. She delivered Samson to them on a platter.
So on the flip side, so, that's the flip side.
We are looking at one side of it to paint Delilah bad.
I mean, but I mean, the point is that, so it's, I get that, you know, looking at the biblical perspective, even that it has changed over the years, you know, Christendom, what a good woman is. There was a time when it was, you know, really just all about submission and not speaking. But, you know, we have an age where there are lots of strong women who are speaking out, advocating, fighting. So, again, I don't know. It's like a body of water. Isaac from Santa Maria says, a good woman is a woman of rubies. She's honest in her heart and with you. Right now, honesty is rare. Right?
Such a rare commodity.
It's a rare commodity because to be honest and vulnerable right now is like, nah, you are not.
Maybe
it's not the sensible thing to do.
Yeah,
it's
because the reception for it isn't the best. Like, you'll be honest and you'll put yourself in trouble. You'll be honest and somebody will be taking you for a fool.
Moments in my life that I've been honest that I really regret.
Yeah.
I thought that my being honest would show the state of my heart or my regret at some things that I did. But then my honesty actually then, it didn't work for me. And
yeah,
I mean, I don't think I've quite recovered from that. Because I think when you show a certain level of honesty, I mean, you're not expecting a reward. But I mean, the truth is I could have lied to you. I could have not have told you.
But you could have also not done whatever it is you did that you're honest about.
Yeah, but
that
I did.
Because the fact that you're honest about it doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt the person.
I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. But so should it get the same punishment as if you found out? So
it doesn't matter. The bad deed was still done.
Let's say I stole.
Uh-huh.
And I came to you and I told you that I stole.
Mm-hmm. You stole my thing?
Yes, I stole your 100 CDs.
Okay.
And I come and I tell Isnam, I stole your 100 CDs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very sorry. I've spent it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pay you back 20 CDs every month for 5 months and try and be a better person. As opposed to I steal your 100 CDs,
uh-huh.
I don't tell you. You go and see a juju man, they throw the corn and the chickens chew it, whatever, and then you find out that is me. is it the same? Like, do you feel like, I'm not saying honesty should be rewarded when it's for a bad thing, but do you feel like it's the same?
The fact that you were honest about it can be acknowledged and appreciated, but if you have to face the consequences of what you did, you have to face the consequences.
And it's the same, it should be the same. Is it not easier to forgive when somebody comes to confess something? Does it not show more remorse?
Well, to an extent, it shows that the person is at least remorseful for what they did, but it also depends on what was done and the level of pain. Yeah, because if you come and confess to cheating, you are not expecting to be fully accepted with open arms.
Yeah, but then
arms.
Isn't it better than being than finding out, climbing
because
a wall?
Because 9 out
example?
Of 10 times when women do it, they are never caught.
Wow. Okay, let's move on from that. Benji on Facebook said, what defines a good woman is patient, supportive, forgiving, confidence. Interesting. I wish we could do a juxtapose against good men and see if the qualities.
It will show you that it will be different. Provider.
Obviously.
Because I'm not saying
so the traditional roles.
Yes.
Yeah. And a good woman is somebody who can provide.
But we don't say character.
When it comes to asking men. about men. So
but then we
provide.
Should because a good human being is not gendered. A good human being is just a good human being.
So let's move to wife, right? How would you, if you
I'm
were
not a wife,
if you were a man, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing.
Right.
So ultimately, if you believe in marriage and you're single, then you're kind of preparing yourself to be a wife because mm-hmm. your husband is supposed to find you as a wife, not he who finds a good woman, da 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 da. So let's say you had to prepare to be a good wife. What would you focus on?
I think I'll focus on my emotional intelligence and the way I can be there and supportive to my partner. How can I be a good wife? How can I be a good space for which this person in which this person will grow? How can I be a good support, a shoulder to lean on, attentive to their needs? You know, how to take care of another human being.
Mm.
That is what I will focus on to be a good wife, because ultimately, that's the most important thing. If you are paying attention to your person's needs, loving them in their love language while receiving love, like, that is the ultimate relationship goal. To find somebody who knows your needs and works with you to take care of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and that's what I would consider as being a good wife. Nothing else matters.
You know, the number one thing for me would be reducing my thoughts into short sentences.
Doesn't have to be short sentences.
Short sentences. Because, I mean, you know, they say that the attention span of men is shorter than the attention span of women. So if you are paying attention, so many times, and I've seen it happen so many times, women are talking to their men and you see the point at which the men's eyes glaze over and it's like, I cannot take any more of this. And I wish that women would learn to deliver, especially when it's very important, deliver their points as concisely.
You are not under pressure to do that. You're not under pressure to consolidate your thoughts into one
not
sentence
consolidate,
for somebody.
But you also get
if
that the male brain is not wired to translate
trust
emotional.
Me, if the person will listen, you don't have to say it 100 times. No, because a majority of the back and forth is all repetitional. It's not there's no new information in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's repetition because you feel like the person is not hearing what you're saying, so you feel the need to repeat it over and over and over again, and the back and forth, you find that you come and realize that it's cyclical. If you are not paying attention to argue correctly, you realize that you are going around in circles. You're going around, you come back to the same
have you
point.
Not ever had a conversation with somebody who just doesn't understand you?
Then they don't understand you. Then take a moment, take a beat, and go back and come again.
So are we
find
going
a different way.
The point
find
of
a different way to give
that
the information.
One thing is when you know, if let's say I'm with you,
right,
and I know how you translate. Does it not make sense that I learn how to speak to you in a way that communicates my point?
Then it's subjective to the person you are with, not yes, in but general.
Yes, but if you are preparing to be like a good wife to somebody.
That is why I'm saying study the needs of the person you are with, how they are.
What so how is what you're saying different to what I'm saying?
No, you are making it a general rule of thumb.
I'm saying that studies show that men cannot have long emotional conversations.
What studies are those?
I'll pull them up for you.
Okay, I would love to read.
So it does not make sense to not develop your ability to have conversations that are not long, drawn out, and emotional when you want to get to a result.
I agree that. I agree to an extent that you have to find a way to easily communicate what you need. Like, use your words to interpret your feelings. Use your words, and it helps if you write it down, and then you're able to figure out how you're feeling. So you go and communicate what you're feeling. Not go and complain. Sometimes we complain about an action when behind that is just an emotion that you're feeling because you were afraid that this person is going to do this. You pick up a fight and it gets bloody, gets drawn out, whatever it is, just to communicate the fact that you feel you're not getting enough time and attention from somebody.
Again, how different is what you're saying from what I was saying? Case in point, this is how easy it is to be trying to say something. Mm-hmm. So if you were my partner, I'm feeling like I'm saying the same thing that you're saying, but then obviously we communicate differently. Mm-hmm. So would it not then make sense for me to learn? And this is not general, it's partner specific.
Exactly.
To learn.
That's my point.
That it's this is specific. How you communicate.
Yeah.
So I can't. One of my best friends was telling her husband that I think she was crying when she said it, that she would really prefer if he spoke to her in pinks and lavender because he was really just very blue and black.
It's true. and sometimes I feel like that too. Like sometimes I wish like my partner would just be softer.
Yeah.
And just.
But do you see how you understood it? Her husband didn't understand it. How many men? Yeah. Talk to me in pink and lavender. I should talk to you in pink and lavender, saying like pink and lavender and everything.
Pink and lavender is soft, feminine, and sweet.
So the way to just say that, I guess, to a man would be, please don't be harsh.
Yes, but even when you're saying don't be harsh, for some men, it is, why shouldn't I be harsh? You deserve it. Like, the compassion and empathy that will make them be soft to you, that thing is
doesn't it? But that's even a step up from understanding.
Yeah.
Because right now we are the understanding face of pink and lavender. No means
yes. So why didn't you use simple sentences?
Because you know that women sometimes we like to communicate in very visual
in graphics.
So, I mean, like, Abeku, if, for example, I came to you and I said, you are my husband, and I said to you, Abeks, can you talk to me in, like, pinks and lavender? Would you understand it? He says I should go on, which means that probably he won't understand. No, but I just want to know, just yes or no, you would. Okay, so then I guess maybe, you know, there are some men who are... But it helps if you know the way your partner...
Yeah, I think most men should also lean into their femininity a little bit. It's not always masculinity. Like, it's not always hard. You don't always have to be strong and hard and whatnot. Softness, femininity, compassion, love, support, those soft emotions.
They are nice.
They make
your life
happy.
Easier.
Your life is relatively easier. Hard guy, no. You don't need to be hardcore and chew your emotions and swallow and drink Betamol on top of it so for you to feel like you're a man, you know, like you just need to be a kind person, be nice
and listen,
you understand,
and care. And I think that, I mean, for defining a good woman, something that's very important is that a good man brings out the good
in
a woman. I realized this I switched from a while ago from one relationship to another, and I was two different people.
Facts.
And the only difference was the way the people, the men, behaved.
Yep.
how they treated me, how they received communication, how secure I felt, how all of that. So then, I mean, I realized at some point that, oh, wow, so I'm actually not...
I'm not an insecure person.
I'm not an anxious person.
I'm not such a bad person.
I am not, you know, like this really emotional person.
It's how you're treated.
And then I think also compatibility is important. Yep. And I think at some point we have to be honest about compatibility. You have to be able to say that, okay, I'm a good woman. I may love this man, but we are not compatible.
Yeah.
So this is not the best place for me.
That's true.
Regardless of how much you love. Because your ability to be the best woman that you can be will also depend on the person that you're with, how compatible you are, whether your personalities work. And these things are science. Like, no matter how much you love, when a talkative is married to a very quiet person, there's definitely going to be a problem somewhere.
One person is going to consider the other boring. The other person is going to consider the other a chatterbox. And then,
but can you imagine two people who like to talk?
Oh, it's nice.
Or at least, even if one person doesn't like to talk, they enjoy the listening. You know, or two people who like the outdoors, shared values, shared fun.
Shared interests,
shared experiences, shared... All those things are so important.
Very, very important. I can't explain to you how important it is for me, who is in the entertainment industry, who enjoys going out, to be with somebody who also enjoys going out. It would be a dream come true. However... I have somebody who is extremely introverted, who would rather play games at home or would rather just chill at home. And chilling at home is a bit boring for me. And I want to be out there and I want to have fun and I want to jam and stuff like that. And that's not doing that or not having the opportunity to do that with my person sometimes makes me feel like I'm missing out on something that could be... That could be exciting and could have a lot of memories for us to fall back on and look back at. And, you know, because now...
It's interesting that you say that, because if I was with somebody who wanted to go out, there'll be a problem.
Exactly.
Because I want to be with somebody that by 9 o'clock, both of us are asleep.
I want to be with somebody by 9 o'clock. We are now about to hit the streets.
I can't.
We are now about to...
I cannot.
You know... And, like, darkness excites me. It's something about being out at night that makes me feel
Long walks on the beach at night, yes.
Yes, but...
But, you know, noises and sounds garage, and people and... I couldn't be with somebody like that. So then what would happen is that, okay, you will have to go alone.
Yeah, so we are very different people. We are all different people. Just figure out what you like. And
be with somebody who likes the same things that you like. I think it helps in being good. Because when
a lot of things, not maybe all the things that you like, but a lot of have shared.
Because when you're with somebody who you have the shared interests and all of that, it's not too difficult to be a good person.
It's not difficult at all.
Because your inherent self is alive.
And your go-to, and you would end up not feeling guilty. There won't be accusations of selfishness, because whatever it is we're doing together.
Yeah.
How would you tell me I'm being selfish by
when we are both
sleeping?
Like, we know that this movie that we are coming to watch, we will not go past 15 minutes. I remember a few years ago, I was dating this guy, and like, he would get so frustrated because no matter what, whether it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, the 15, 20 minute mark, I'm so energetic at the beginning. I really want to watch this movie. But as long as it's dark,
you want to sleep.
I can't. Like, physically, I will not survive past 15 or 20 minutes.
Well,
so, you know, you can imagine how much maybe he would look forward to, you know, movies. Oh, let's watch it. And I'm excited too.
Something as small as even the fact that you watch series and the person watches full movies could be a problem.
Yeah.
Like, somebody who likes series and somebody who likes movies are two different human beings.
Because it's two completely different things.
Two different worlds.
Series. I think I'm a series person.
I am. And... I don't like the idea that the movie is a 2-hour movie and it ends. I don't like it. So I'd rather watch
it. I'm also a spoilers person, so I need to read the spoilers. I need to know the ending of the series because I'm not going to start to see. I watched One Day on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the mistake of not reading about the end. So I committed my life to about 8 episodes. And in the end, the girl died. And I can tell you for a fact, if I had read that the girl would die at the end, I would not have watched it. Because I was devastated for days and I was so annoyed. Because it was a waste of my life. Why do you die? There have been such great movies on Netflix that I've started watching. I started watching with a partner. I go and I Google it. If I don't like the ending, I'm not watching it. So you can imagine if you're trying to watch series with me.
Wow.
I don't like murder. I don't like people dying. I don't like violence. I don't like people dying. I don't like people dying. I don't like people dying.
Then if you watch Game of Thrones, it had to break. Premium
no, I watched Game of Thrones and I enjoyed it because after the first shock,
of Ned
you
Stark.
Know Game of Thrones, after the first shock, you are psyched that...
After Brandon or after what?
After Ned. After the... Because nobody expected that he was going to... After that first one, you know that...
You're in for a dangerous ride.
Yeah, like you're gone. Anyway, we're talking about a good woman. Adaria Dominic says, a good woman is supportive in everything. I think a good woman is not supportive in everything. I think a good woman is somebody who can tell you to your face that, Charlie, what you are doing
you are misbehaving.
I'm not going to support
you. Can call you out.
You are on your own.
But I guess what the support here means is like...
And I'll be here to tell you I told you so.
Yeah.
The support is that I'll be here at the end.
Like, the support is that they're not leaving you. I mean, I saw a comment that is supportive, like, during hard times. But there are some people who
I have
do the
feelings,
best thing they will do for you.
I have feelings
hard
about hard times.
I have strong feelings.
Because, you
about
see,
that.
Hard times that you brought on yourself, I cannot suffer with
like
you.
Like, if you didn't listen and use your money to go and do some investments that are shady, I told you about it constantly and you
now
didn't listen.
Now we're in hard times.
And now we're in hard times and you really want support. Do it, or maybe you will get compassion, but support
from a distance.
Ember,
compassion from a distance.
From a distance.
Anyway, so that's us on a good woman.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to be good women, but I think most importantly, define for yourself what good is.
What good?
Define what you can live with.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you have to live with yourself, and people will always judge you. If you do a good thing, they'll judge you. If you do a bad thing, they'll judge you. So
unless you're a potato. Even that some people
even
like
a potato,
fried.
Some people like it fried.
Some people like boiled.
Even those who like it fried, some like thick chunks, some like thin chunks.
Curly fries and everything.
Some like it soggy, some like it hard.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really about how you like it. Anyway, thank you, Esinam, for passing through.
Thanks, Nims. Always
and,
a pleasure. Chit-chat,
thank you to all of you who
thanks for listening to us.
Yes, chit chats about being a good woman. We'll be back next week with something interesting. My name is Anima Animado. This has been Strong and Sassy. Coming up next, it's a very, very, very serious looking
Faustina.
It's very, very serious. Like,
giving serious,
it's
giving
not
headmistress.
Yes, so she'll be bringing us the news at 8 o'clock. Stay tuned then.